next door to William Booth, and one night, it was late at night, his son Bramwell looked over and saw the lights on in his father's home. And he grew concerned about his father that he was up so late, and so he went over to see his father. And he opened the door and went in. He noticed his father was pacing back and forth across the room. And he had a wet towel on his head because of an extreme headache that had come upon him. And Booth stopped to look at his son, and he said, ought you not to be asleep? And Bramwell said, well, Father, what are you doing? Why are you pacing the floor? And General William Booth said, well, son, he said, I am thinking. And Bramwell said, well, Dad, what are you thinking about? And Bramwell and General Booth said, I am thinking about the people's sins. What will they do with their sins? And that's a good question for us to ponder, and a question that I ponder every time when I go into a culture like that. We see it here, but it's not nearly as obvious as the false systems of worship that are set up in so many of these Eastern countries, as we have seen. A second impression that I always come back with is the love and patience of God toward all men. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Again in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And of course, John 3:16, God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. But the question is, how can they believe if they never hear? One night on a very crowded double-decker bus, as the six of us were coming back from doing some sightseeing downtown in Hong Kong, we were on this very filled bus with people, so much so that we couldn't sit down until some of the people had gotten off at various stops. And I ended up standing up the whole way back. And I was near the stairwell upstairs in this double-decker bus, if you've been on one. And I watched this little old lady, hardly recognizable as a lady. She got on. She stood there in that stairwell because there was no place to sit. I studied that figure that resembled a woman. And I looked at her intensely and just sort of from head to foot. And I was amazed as I looked at this woman in tattered rags. She'd probably put in a 12, 14, 16-hour workday somewhere scrubbing dishes or scrubbing floors. Her fingernails were filled with all kinds of grit. And she was literally asleep on her feet because there was no place to sit down and nobody would give up their seats. They're not very polite in those cultures. And as I looked at that woman, I thought to myself, you know, God loves her. God loves her as much as God loves me. God loves her. But how will she ever know the love of God unless someone goes and learns the language and is able to communicate to her the mercy, the forgiveness of God, the love of God? How will she ever know? Paul asked that rhetorical question in Romans chapter 10. He said, how will they ever hear unless someone goes? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they believe the message without hearing it? And so the ball is sort of left on our shoulders. What are we going to do with it? A.B. Simpson, the noted pastor and missions leader, was once seen in his study praying, and he was kneeling by the corner of his desk, and he had literally embraced the globe, and he was weeping profusely over that globe. And I think that that's what God is going to have to do in each one of us if we're going to have the impact in our society and in our world. If Christianity is ever going to have the impact that God intended for it to have, then certainly we are going to have to recapture a global vision, a global concern. And then that brings me to my third point, and that is that God, in his infinite wisdom, chooses to communicate his love and mercy and forgiveness to a lost world through redeemed humanity. That's an amazing thing to me, to think that God chooses to use us. Jesus, many occasions, challenged his disciples. He said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've appointed you to bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, in John chapter 15. Again, in the end of John's gospel, in John chapter 20, as he's commissioning his disciples, he said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. A great commission in Matthew chapter 28. All authority has been given unto me. Isn't it wonderful? We sing the song such as we did this morning. We're reminded of how our God reigns and He's to be exalted. And ultimately, His plan is going to be fulfilled on earth as it's being fulfilled in heaven. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that we have that kind of authority behind us to back us up as we go out to a lost world, that God is going to use us? And we see amazing ways that He's using our missionaries today. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. You go therefore and you make disciples. That's a command. Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And then He said, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, one of the incredible things every time we go is to see the contentment of the missionaries. Much more content than probably most of us here this morning. And yet they have much less than most of us here this morning. But I believe they're content because they're obedient to the will of God. They're obedient to the command of Jesus Christ. So there's a contentment in their life because they recognize that what they are doing has eternal implications to it. It may be that the Lord is challenging some of you this morning in that direction. I close with this illustration from General Stonewall Jackson, who sent an order to one of his officers in the afternoon at Malvern Hill to advance across the open space in front of the federal works and attack them. And the officer in question hurried back to Jackson and said almost rudely, "Did you order me to advance over that field, sir, with our troops?" And Jackson's eye flashed under the rim of his cap, and in his briefest tones he said, "Yes." And the younger officer said, "But impossible, sir," he said. "My men will be annihilated. Nothing can live there. They will be absolutely, without question, annihilated." Jackson listened to this young officer in silence, but his face grew cold and rigid with displeasure. He gazed steadily for a moment at the speaker, raised his finger, and in low, brief tones, here's what he said. He said, "General, I always endeavor to take care of my wounded and to bury my dead. You have my order. Obey it." And I believe that's what the Lord is saying to us as a church this morning. You have my order, my commission. I've commissioned you. Now obey it. I believe that's what the Lord is saying to many of us individually. You have been commissioned by me. I have commanded you. Now obey it. No questions asked. Just simply obey it. It may be some of you young people that are graduating from high school, college, graduate school this morning, and God is speaking to you. You have my orders now. Obey them. What are you going to do? Do you want to plug your life into something that will long outlive you and reach on into eternity? Then become involved in the Great Commission. It's the great challenge before us. It may be that some of you this morning do not know Jesus Christ, and God is speaking clearly to you, and you may be as lost as the people you've heard about and seen this morning. You may be trying in your own methodology to somehow reach communication with God, establish some sort of meaning in your life, but it just isn't there. And the Lord wants to do something beautiful in your life this morning. There is a Savior. Connie's going to come and sing, "There is a Savior." And as she sings, I would like for you to reflect on what you've seen and heard this morning. And then I would like you to ask yourself this question and ask God this question. The very question that Paul asked of the Lord at his conversion. It was this question: "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do to communicate the message that there is a Savior?"
For each tomorrow. Is your past a memory that binds you? Is there some pain that you've carried for too long? Then strengthen
as the ushers prepare to come and take the offering. Let God speak to you in this moment. This is an important moment when the Lord has our attention. I trust that you'll respond as He wants you to. If you don't know Christ, come down to the front when the service is over. We'd love to show you how you can experience His life and come to know the Savior that we've heard about. Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. We thank you for the way that you used each one of us as we were there in lands thousands of miles from here, among people that some of them we'd never met, and others to renew acquaintances. Lord, you were there, and we thank you for that. We thank you for speaking to us this morning, and we pray that if there's anyone here who does not know you, that today may be that day when they'll come to know the Savior. Bless what we give to you now as an act of worship. Enlarge our vision as a church family for those around the world who've never yet heard. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind.